We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and our text for this evening is verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 6ness and death have been very busy amongst us recently. It was with great sadness that we heard on Thursday of the passing of our beloved elder, Alec Campbell. He was such a fine man, such a useful man. He prayed so beautifully in the prayer meeting. I remember the last time he prayed with us on a Tuesday evening. It was a most moving prayer a month or two back. He could lead in the singing. He could preach very acceptably. And he did. He was good at visiting the sick and the elderly. He was good at evangelism. I well remember him being out of myself on door-to-door work on Kestrel Road, and how he seemed to have a much better way with him at getting talking to people and getting round people. And he had such a good way with him at communicating the gospel. He was a very fit, strong man, and very capable at doing so many things, looking after the property around the church here as if it was his own home. He fought very bravely against cancer, and he lived as normal a life as possible. And then, when it was no longer possible for him to fight against it, he suffered for a short period, but very, very courageously, joyfully, brightly, looking forward to going to heaven to be with the Lord. So we'll miss him. And then there have been other deaths in our neighbouring congregation in Partick, an old member there, Nina McKeever. Funeral service took place on Friday, and she's to be buried tomorrow. My daughter, her fiancé, is working on the power lines from Denny up to Bewley. And just last Wednesday, a young man there, 31 years of age, caught between a tractor and a road roller, he lost his life. Thursday evening, some of us were at the Kirkton Flats doing outreach, and we saw lots of police around. Then we discovered that a young man had been murdered there just the day before. Death is so busy. That's just in our little circle and the ones we know. But across the world every day, millions of people are dying. Millions of people going into eternity, some with old age, others with cancer, some with heart attacks, various diseases, accidents, crime, war. There's so many different ways to die. But death seems so inevitable. It comes to everybody. What can we say in the face of all-powerful death? What can we say in the face of the grave that is so victorious and swallowing up one after another of us? The world has nothing to say, but place a bunch of flowers over it and don't mention the word death. But the Christian has an answer. Christian can look at death and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through Christ, and therefore death does not terrorize us. So let's look at this passage today together. The first thing I want you to know is, to notice is, the sting of death. O death, where is thy sting? Death is pictured here as a snake with a sting, poisonous snake. Remember when Israel were going through the wilderness from Egypt to the Promised Land? They were going at one stage round the south of the Dead Sea. And the going was hard. It was rocky. It was mountainous. The sun was beating down on them. The water was scarce. And they were fed up of the manna. This light bread, our soul loathes it. And they began murmuring against God. And God sent amongst them snakes, fiery serpents. And everyone who was bitten by these snakes died. 2 or 3 months ago, one of our missionaries, Marianne Hendrickson, was bitten by a small cobra. The electricity had gone off at night. She went out, the mains electricity, she went out to turn on the generator. And as she was walking to the generator, she was bitten by the snake. Very painful. She was taken to the hospital, but they had no anti-venom in the hospital. It was half an hour away. If it had been an adult cobra, she would have been dead in a quarter of an hour. And then we're told about the cook at the college there, Nelson, how he was attacked by a black mamba snake. Thankfully, he had on heavy boots. The snake struck 3 times. But because of these heavy boots, didn't penetrate to his skin. If it had, he would have been killed. But friends, there's a worse snake than the cobra, even the adult cobra, or the black mamba. There's the snake of death. Heavy boots won't defend you. The best of anti-venom will not defend you. The best medicine and the best surgery will not keep you from death when the snake comes. When it bites, there's no escape. Some people try really hard to keep fit. They're always going to the gym and their bodies are in good shape. They're keeping themselves so well. And they're very careful about what they eat. And they're always eating the best of food. And they seem to be so fit and well. Does it save them from dying? Not a bit. The snake of death comes along. And no matter how fit they are, they bite the dust. Sometimes children die. I was talking just yesterday to a minister, David Parker, who works at a children's hospice. And he has the sadness of seeing, on average, every fortnight, a young child dying of cancer. How sad. The snake bites that child. Children die, young people die, middle-aged people die, old people die, everybody dies. People run away from death, they don't want to talk about it, they pretend it's not there. Doesn't make any difference, death still comes. Rich people die, poor people die. Big people, small people, educated, uneducated, all die. The Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment? The sting of death. The second thing I want you to notice is the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. What does this mean? Well, think of that young cobra. Because it was a young cobra, it didn't kill Marianne. It left her leg very, very painful. It meant that for several days she couldn't walk. But she survived. But the venom of the snake of death, nobody will survive. And what makes that venom so strong? The strength of the venom, the strength of sin is the law. This is what makes the venom of death so powerful that it kills everyone. Think of the Garden of Eden. There in the Garden of Eden, our first parents were living in fellowship with God, in paradise, in happiness. Satan came along and he said, "You shall not surely die if you eat this fruit. You won't really die." You see, God's such a loving God. And you're such a special person. Actually, if you were to eat this fruit, you would become like God. And you would be wonderful people and you would know so much more than you do know. You won't die. God's too loving for that to happen. And our first parents believed Satan rather than God. God had said, "In the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die." Satan said, "You shall not surely die." They ate of it and they died. They died to God. And death came into human experience. Death became universal. Sickness, suffering, pain, trouble, all the misery that is in this world came into this world because our first parents disobeyed God, obeyed Satan, and broke the covenant that God made with them. The strength of sin is the law. The law says, don't eat the forbidden fruit. Our parents ate it. And so, the poison of the snake is all powerful. God's law says, the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. We all die. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Sin is not conforming to the law, not reaching the standard of the law, not doing what the law says. And sin is transgressing the law. So sin is not reaching the standard. Sin is not performing what the law says. And sin is breaking the commandments of God. And what happens when we sin? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The sinner shall not go unpunished. God is angry with sinners every day. In some countries, they have capital punishment for various crimes. If you went to Singapore, you would find a country that's very clean and very free of crime and free of drug-related crime. because there's capital punishment for anyone who has drugs, just having them. Capital punishment. Sin against God is so serious that it has to be punished. God is so great. How dare anyone sin against Him? God is so good. How wicked to sin against Him. God is so just that anyone who sins against Him will be punished. People say God is love. God won't hurt you. You'll go to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. There's no such a thing as hell. And they laugh at fire and brimstone preaching and all that old-fashioned stuff. Well, well. They're not the first to invent a God of love that has no hell. Satan told our first parents about it, didn't he? He said, "You shall not surely die." And they thought they would get off with eating the forbidden fruit. And they ate the forbidden fruit and they felt the full pain of God's wrath. God is just. God is loving and merciful and gracious, yes. But we must remember the whole Bible. The Bible is God's word and it says to us, the wages of sin is death. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We will die for our sins. Some people say they're perfect. They don't sin. They can't see any sin in their lives. Well, if they're perfect, why do they die? They die because they're sinners, like the rest of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death is universal. The strength of sin is the law, and God's law, God's almighty law and justice is against us when we sin and gives poison to death, to the snake of death, with which to punish us. We live in a cursed world, a world that's in rebellion against God, and a world where death is universal. Thirdly, we notice that the grave is victorious. The grave is victorious. Solomon spoke of four things that couldn't be satisfied. And one of these things is a grave. Day after day the grave is swallowing. Swallowing. It's like a great beast with an open mouth. Swallowing one after another. Swallows good people. Like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel. Peter and James and John were swallowed by the grave. The reformers, Luther, Calvin, Knox, people in our own congregation have been swallowed by the grave. We think of Katie Ann McLeod and Flora McIntosh and Brian Baxter, Reverend Brian Baxter, swallowed by the grave. We think of some of us, our own parents, grandparents, swallowed by the grave. We think of that day when we went with them, with our body to the grave, placed it in the ground, in that hole, filled in the soil over the grave, and walked away. There's something so solemn about walking away from a grave. So final. From time to time we've gone back to these graves. I've gone back to my parents' grave. I read the writing on the stone. I think of my parents. I go to them, but they don't come to me. It's a cold place, the graveyard. The grass is growing on their graves. The grave seems to be victorious. What can the world say to us at such a time? It has nothing to say. But the Bible has something to say. God has something to say. There is hope. There is encouragement. We have a message in the face of death and in the face of the all-devouring grave. We have a message. So fourthly, victory through Christ. O grave, where is thy victory now? Victory through Christ. God's covenant was broken by man. We sinned against God. God's curse came upon us, death and the grave. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, took a human nature, a human body, human soul, lived in this life, and lived the kind of life that neither you nor I have lived, a perfect life without sin. He was the only one who ever lived a perfect life, and therefore death had no claim upon him. The snake of death was powerless before Christ. But what did Christ do? He took our sins upon himself, took our place, and gave himself as a sacrifice to death. He could only die by willing himself to die and dismissing his spirit to God. He actively offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a substitute, suffering in our place. He took our sins and he took the terrible sufferings which our sins demanded. He descended into our hell, and he did it on the cross of Calvary. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cried out, it is finished. I've done it. I've completed it. I've drunk the cup of sufferings. Into thine hands I commend my spirit, Heavenly Father. He felt the sting of death as no one else felt it. The full strength of the snake's venom, he felt it entering into his body. And through death, he destroyed him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. He led captivity captive, and he gives the gift of life to men. We have a gospel, and we have a gospel simply because of Jesus Christ. He was perfect in keeping God's commandments. Death had no claim upon him. He took our sins. He suffered our hell. And he offers us heaven. On the third day he rose, having conquered death and the grave. Jesus lives and Jesus saves. Finally, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen how death appears to be conquering everyone, how the grave devours everyone. But death went a step too far when death stung Christ. The snake attacked him, and he sucked out of the snake of death all the venom, all the poison. And through that death that he died, he conquered death and the devil, the prince of death. And so Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But we still die. No, the Christian doesn't die. The Christian just falls asleep in Jesus. The Christian doesn't die. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He has conquered death. He has taken the sting out of death and the victory from the grave. Yes, we fall asleep. And falling asleep, we open our eyes in heaven to depart and to be with Christ is far better. It's only a departing, going to be with Christ in a better place. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. We are victorious, and we are victorious through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is life after death. In fact, you can't really call it death. Oh yes, the wicked die. It's death and it's hell. It's misery. It's awful. But for the Christian, there is no death. It's falling asleep in Jesus. It's going to be with the Savior. It's leaving behind the pains and sufferings of this life. It's death with dignity. Yes, there's dignity there. Going to be with Christ. How wonderful it is to think even of our friend Alec. There I was talking to him last Tuesday, looking into his face and he looking into mine. Today, Alec is looking into the face of Christ. And Christ is looking into his face. How wonderful, how beautiful. His struggles, his trials, his pains, his sufferings, his disability. Latterly, he couldn't even see. But he can see now. And he can see things that you and I have never seen. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with thy likeness, with thine appearance, with thy face, Lord Jesus. Everlasting bliss. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. For whom? only for those who trust in Jesus. Only for those who have Him as their Saviour. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is He your Lord, your Master, your Saviour? Have you taken Him as your Lord and Saviour? Are you still rejecting Him? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, if He is our Lord Jesus Christ, we too can turn and say to death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And as we go to the graveside, some of us, on Tuesday, God willing, and we lay our brother in the grave, we're not doing it in a hopeless way. We're not doing it in a despairing way. But we are laying that body in the grave in the strong and joyful hope of the resurrection, knowing that He in His soul is in a better place, and that His body laid in the grave is united to Christ and rests in the grave until the resurrection. And what a day that will be, the resurrection. What a day in Bragger Cemetery. What a day in the Western Necropolis or the Southern Necropolis or out at Dalnotar. Think of all these graves opening and the Lord's people coming out triumphant from the graves. Oh yes, the wicked will rise too, to shame and everlasting contempt, to hell. But the Lord's people rising triumphant from the grave, their souls having returned and entered into their bodies. And on that day they will cry, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We got the victory through Christ. He took the sting out of death. And He was victorious over the grave. He rose on that third day triumphant. And we shall rise too. Jesus rose and we will rise and enter into glory forever to be with the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from this time forth. Blessed. What sort of death will you have? A blessed death? If you have Christ, and Christ is freely offered to you in the gospel, seek Him and you will find Him. Come to Him and He will come into your heart and be your Savior. And He will save you from death and from the grave. And from hell.